This is Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal for July 14th, 2011. I'm Meredith DeFrancesco. At the start of this past legislative session, Governor Paul LePage made it clear he opposed Maine's ban on the toxic chemical bisphenol A in some consumer products. In a six-page document he submitted to the Joint Committee on Regulatory Fairness and Reform, LePage listed the elimination of the ban, along with numerous other changes to Maine's environmental laws, to be considered for inclusion in LD1, a bill meant to simplify regulations for business. In the end, the Joint Committee did not include the elimination of the ban in their bill, and the legislature went on to affirm their commitment to the Kids Safe Products Act, which initiated the pioneering ban. Last week, however, the Maine-based consumer health organization, the Environmental Health Strategy Center, publicized that the Department of Environmental Protection had missed the first deadline in adherence to the BPA ban, and also had missed a deadline concerning the phase-out of a number of other chemicals under the Toxics Use Reduction Act. The Environmental Health Strategy Center wrote a letter to the Attorney General of Maine demanding action be taken against the state for its lack of adherence. Today we speak with the director of the Environmental Health Strategy Center, Mike Beliveau, followed by Ron Dyer of the Maine DEP. The Attorney General's office declined to comment, saying the allegations in the letter were under review but would be addressed as quickly as possible. We start with Mike Beliveau with the Environmental Health Strategy Center. Welcome to the program.
Thanks.
So let's talk about these deadlines that the LePage administration has missed, the statutory deadlines having to do with the BPA rules and the Kids Safe Product Act. Lay those out, and then we'll discuss a little more in detail.
Sure. Yes, we put the governor on notice, and we asked the Attorney General, William Schneider, to take action to compel Governor LePage to comply and enforce Maine law regarding chemical safety. The administration has violated two state laws. One is the Kids Safe Products Act, and under that law, we have the BPA phase-out rule. This is the requirement that we begin to move to safer alternatives to this hormone havoc wreaking chemical. It's the same chemical that the governor received international attention to early this year after he opposed the regulation BPA and claimed wrongly that the worst we could be concerned about is that women would grow little beards, which was a grossly ignorant and insulting statement. And the concern is serious, and the concern is with children's health, that this synthetic estrogen-like chemical can affect brain development, prostate and breast development, and predispose a developing baby to these serious chronic diseases later in life. So under the BPA rule, which was upheld by the legislature nearly unanimously, by the end of this year, by January 1st, 2012, it is no longer legal to sell reusable food and beverage containers made from BPA. So this would include things like certain plastic baby bottles and sippy cups, thermoses, sports water bottles, also the 5-gallon water cooler bottles, and other reusable food and beverage containers. Now, under the rule and under the law, 6 months prior to the sales ban, manufacturers of those products have to submit a compliance plan to the agency indicating how they're going to meet that phase out, whether they're going to take the product off the shelf, whether they're going to substitute it with another material, and how do they know that that is a safer alternative. They also have to document, the manufacturers, that they have notified retailers that sell their product in the state that after January 1st, they can no longer sell that product. So the whole idea behind the compliance plan is to provide for an orderly, smooth transition to safer alternatives, and to assist business and provide regulatory certainty about how this is going to unfold. Well, that compliance plan deadline came and went on July 5th last week, and there was no activity that we could discern by the agency to either notify companies that they needed to submit those plans, as far as we can tell, have they received any compliance plans. So it's just a case of gross lack of enforcement of a critical public health measure that the LePage administration has consistently and aggressively opposed since day one.
Now,
so that's the major concern that we've raised.
And now the Department of Environmental Protection, the main Department of Environmental Protection, has said they actually had received an extension, a new deadline. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a completely false claim, and the agency is deliberately confusing the public and providing incorrect information to the media, and I'm shocked at that. There's another provision of the BPA rule that says for other product categories, the manufacturers of those products need to simply report which products contain BPAs. It's a reporting rule. None of those products are subject to the phase out or the sales ban. That includes things like toys, childcare articles, and tableware, and also infant formula and baby food. And so those product makers need to report, and that reporting deadline was extended to October 3rd. We agreed to that. That's because the law regarding reporting was changed this year, and in a way that public health advocates could live with. And so because the reporting requirement was changed, the reporting deadline was extended to October 3rd. But that has nothing to do whatsoever with the compliance plan requirement for reusable food and beverage containers that are subject to a sales ban at the end of this year. And so the DEP, for some reason, is providing false information or misleading people about the deadline extension. There has been no deadline extension for the compliance plan. That part of the law was not affected by the bill that passed this year, and that deadline was not extended by the legislature, and the commissioner of the agency has no authority to extend that deadline.
And the second statutory deadline, which the department did not meet, was a July 1st deadline for releasing a list of up to 10 toxic chemicals to be regulated under the Toxics Use Reduction Act. And the DEP has said that they admit that they did miss the deadline, but because of the complexity of the 1,700 toxic chemicals they could potentially choose from, they're unable to make that call. And I'd like you to comment on that aspect of your complaint to the Attorney General's office, but also say whether you believe through your research that there is enough available research and data that they should be able to determine this list without an extension.
There were already six chemicals identified and teed up for rulemaking by the Baldacci administration. So this is just a clear evidence that the LePage administration has no interest in worker health and safety or environmental public health. The deadline under the Toxic Use Reduction Act was to adopt a rule that lists priority chemicals that the use of which by industrial facilities or even other institutional users or smaller commercial establishments would be subject to a requirement that there be a toxics use reduction plan developed, and that plan include goals, which are really voluntary goals for how the use of that chemical will be reduced over time. Now, unlike the Kids Safe Products Act, which is only 3 years old, the Toxic Use Reduction Act goes back to 1989. It came from the Right to Know movement, and the labor movement was a strong advocate both for worker health and safety as well as environmental protection. And that law was substantially reauthorized in 1999. And then it came up again for modernization in 2010. And after a prolonged stakeholder process, a compromise was negotiated in which the universe of chemicals subject to planning and goal setting would be reduced in exchange for narrowly focusing on high priority chemicals, and that the base of facilities that would be subject to the requirement would be broadened. So it wouldn't just be Maine's large industrial facilities like the paper mills, but any establishment that used a priority chemical would be part of this use reduction planning process. So it seemed like a good bargain in 2010. And so the first major step under that revised Toxic Use Reduction Act was by July 1st of 2011, the Department of Environmental Protection had to adopt a rule listing up to the first 10 priority chemicals with the expectation that list would grow over time. And in December of last year, the Baldacci administration held a public workshop in which six chemicals were profiled and identified, and they're all very well-studied chemicals that pose serious public health hazards. All of them are cancer-causing. They include styrene, for example, which is used in boat building and a number of other in resin, boat building resins, and a number of other applications. It also included perchloroethylene, or PERC, which is the dry cleaning fluid that's been used historically, that is a known carcinogen that states like California are beginning to ban, and four other chemicals, formaldehyde and a few others, very well-known hazardous chemicals. There should be no controversy. There's no need to go back to the drawing board. Even if they did, even if the administration, LePage administration, felt like, well, we have to take a second look, it doesn't relieve them of the responsibility of adopting a rule by July 1st. I think the evidence will show that in the first 6 months of the year, the LePage DEP has done absolutely nothing to prepare for this deadline. And it's not just like they're a little bit behind. The rulemaking process itself often takes 6 months. So they're at least 6 months behind schedule, and there's still no proposed rule, or they have not even initiated the rulemaking process. So this is just a gross violation of Maine health and safety requirements, and really shouldn't be tolerated by anybody.
You also, in a letter on June 22nd, and who was that to, Mike?
That was to the acting commissioner, Patty Aho, at the Department of Environmental Protection.
In that letter, you were speaking about the elimination and reassigning of staff people who had previously been assigned to the Safer Chemicals Program. Can you talk about that? And the DEP spokesperson currently has said that now direct supervision of the bureau director is where those charges have been placed because of its importance. Can you comment on that?
It's just another example of a pattern of hostility by this government, by this governor, to health and safety protections. In January, he announced a radical rollback of environmental and health protections that included a repeal of the BPA rule and a gutting of the KidSafe Products Act. Those extreme policies were overwhelmingly rejected by Maine people and by the Maine legislature, to their credit. So the LePage administration was stopped. Then, having failed to accomplish his extreme agenda in the legislature, the governor proceeded to begin to dismantle the programs administratively at the DEP. So he eliminated a staff position that was completely funded by fees on manufacturers, these out-of-state companies that are using and bringing these chemicals into Maine. Eliminating that position had zero savings for Maine's budget, so it wasn't a budget decision, it was a political decision. So that was a crippling blow. Then he reassigned the environmental professional staff person working on the ground to implement the KidSafe Products Act. She bravely testified on her own personal time on her vacation against the legislation that would have gutted the KidSafe Products Act. So in retaliation for that, they've reassigned her to unrelated mundane duties. They replaced her with an unqualified clerical administrative assistant that has no environmental professional qualifications whatsoever. Then they took the supervision of the program away from a highly experienced program manager that had the time to make this work, and instead bumped it upstairs to the responsibility of Ron Dyer, the director of the Bureau of Remediation and Waste Management, who supervises 200 people. So Ron Dyer, who supervises 200 people, and a clerical assistant who has no environmental qualifications, are now in charge of enforcing and implementing Maine's KidSafe Products Act. Ron Dyer most recently came from Poland Springs, where he was the environmental manager. So, you know, they've cut the staff. They have eliminated the ability of the most qualified people to pay attention to the program. And it's under direct political control. but they're not carrying out the mandates of the law, nor are they organized to properly meet the intent of the legislature and of Maine people, that we should protect our children's health from these unnecessary toxic chemicals.
And so you've filed this complaint with the Attorney General.
Yeah.
Have you received any word? Are you expecting any time when you would be hearing back? And if there is not any action taken, you will be prepared to take a legal action against the state?
We've asked the Attorney General to compel the governor to enforce the Kids Safe Products Act and comply with the Toxic Use Reduction Act. We've made specific requests of the steps that the agency can take, that we want them to take, that would correct, these violations in an orderly way. We've asked the Attorney General for a response in 10 business days. We're hopeful because Attorney General Schneider has demonstrated independence in the past and integrity, that he will advise his client, Governor LePage, that it's in the best interest of the state to enforce and comply with these laws. We are assembling a legal team and consultation with attorneys, and if necessary, we hope it isn't, but if necessary, we hope to be able to enforce these laws ourselves. But, it shouldn't be the duty of Maine people to enforce the law. That's the responsibility of the executive branch. And it just shows that, the extreme agenda of Governor Paul LePage is going to have to be constantly challenged. It's not just a matter of prevailing in the legislature. What he could not achieve legislatively, he's trying to achieve administratively, and we have to remain organized and vigilant, engage in all kinds of activism, including lawsuits where that's possible, to hold this administration accountable. To get involved in this campaign, because there's ongoing grassroots actions and various opportunities for people to get involved at various levels, people should go to our website, preventharm.org, and sign up for the email updates and go to the Take Action page and get involved in this campaign.
Thank you, Mike Béliveau, Director of the Maine-based Environmental Health Strategy Center. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thanks, Meredith.
We also spoke earlier with Ron Dyer, the director of the Bureau of Remediation and Waste Management at the Department of Environmental Protection. Thank you for joining us to comment on these missed deadlines and to give your perspective on the work of the department to adhere to these health protections. Ron Dyer, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So first, let's clarify the statements made earlier in the press by the DEP that this administration has not missed the deadline requiring manufacturers of reusable food and beverage containers containing BPA, bisphenol A, to submit a compliance plan by July 5th, and that the deadline was actually pushed to October 3rd. And it is my understanding that a recent legislative action did not affect the phase-out for reusable food and beverage containers, which will be totally banned from sale in the state on January 2012, but that the postponement applied to another category of products, and these include toys, childcare articles, tableware, infant formula, and baby food. It is the rules applying to these products which were altered and therefore given an extension until October 3rd. The manufacturers of these products, just as an aside, as I understand it, have only to report certain information separate from the reusable food and beverage containers. There's supposed to be an actual action plan for elimination of the product, again, that was supposed to have been drawn up by July 5th.
I'd be happy to try to clear some of that up. I know it's very confusing. There's a number of dates out there. First of all, DEP hasn't missed any dates, and we are always assessing how companies are complying with these laws, and in this case, we're holding companies accountable that should be and must remove the products that are banned. We did move out the reporting date, as you mentioned, for all other parts of this to October 3rd, because this bill was up for a look during the last legislative session, and we weren't quite sure how it would all turn out, so we pushed it off to give people more reporting time. I think the key thing for the big dates is that this plan is fully implemented by January of 2012, and we're holding everybody's feet to the fire to do that and putting things in place to make sure we meet, in fact, meet all those deadlines. But we do not see where we missed any dates at all.
So you don't think that the July 1st deadline still stands? You think that it was affected in that different?
Companies are required under that ban to report by then. We have some in contact with us now. We're actually getting some reported information in now. So things, I don't think that the information of the press has always been correct as far as that we have gotten no activity here. We are, in fact, in conversation with companies about the reporting requirements and the need for compliance plans.
But again, my understanding about the July 1st deadline was that there would be it would be required 6 months prior to a sales ban to submit for manufacturers to submit compliance plans, how they would be phasing BPA out of the products, and if this would be absolute just taking them off the shelf, or if they were going to put a substitute in, and documenting that they had notified the retailers carrying their products that these compliance plans were due July 1st. And you're saying there was never that deadline, or that deadline was changed?
No, that deadline does exist, and we're in negotiation now. Companies have asked us whether or not the law applies to them. We're going through some assessments now of the reporting requirement. So well, in fact, people are paying attention to it, but I want to make sure it's clear that DEP didn't miss any deadlines. We're holding the regulated community responsible at this point to get their plans in here and comply with the law. We're totally dedicated and committed to implementing this law fully and expect manufacturers to do their parts of the program, such as notifying retailers, et cetera.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that you've made it clear to the manufacturers that this deadline was there, and it is the manufacturers themselves who have missed that deadline.
Exactly. If there's any out there that should be getting it in, they need to do that. And we basically, the law required that, so that is correct.
And how are you going about making sure that they do adhere to those compliance plans in a timely enough manner that the ban will take place? Or are you just saying the ban's taking place and they're going to have to comply to it, whether they have a more gradual plan that's more helpful for businesses or not, that it's just going to, that's the deadline?
Well, like with all of our laws, we're looking for a reasonable approach to, if people are working with us now and some have in fact submitted information or are asking us how to apply this law to, this is a brand new law, and although it's been on the books for a little bit, as far as how we comply with it, and having people look at it and in a timely manner start getting those things in here. And that's our normal kind of compliance method, too. The law doesn't actually have enforcement as its number one tool. It's really a reporting law, and we expect people to get those reports in here.
Okay, because unfortunately we don't have a lot of time, I'll move on to the next deadline, the second toxics deadline missed. That's also a part of this letter to the Attorney General and has been in the press. This is the requirement by the Toxic Use Reduction Act, instructing the state to come up with a list of at least 10 priority chemicals to target for a use reduction plan. And this deadline was July 1st. And again, the DEP has been quoted in the press saying that they did miss the deadline, but it's because they're trying to navigate a huge list of chemicals to choose from. But again, my understanding is that under the Baldacci administration, already 6 cancer-causing chemicals had been chosen. So what's going on?
Well, we were, in fact, we're assessing, there's a lot of things that were on the books or in process when we walked in, when the administration walked in, and the priority chemical rule is one of them. And basically, we took a look at that along with all the other priority areas, and there's been no attempt to forestall adoption. As a matter of fact, the rulemaking process for that is actually in process. The affirmation that it was late is accurate, but it is happening in July of 2011. But we really wanted to do a thoughtful and considered approach for this rule and really understand its implications. It definitely has huge implications to businesses as well as the environmental community, so we want to do it right. So we're planning right now to follow through with formal rulemaking process on that activity.
When will that be?
It's actually started now. At least there's not an actual date on it yet, but there is the authority's already been granted and the rulemaking paperwork has been completed.
And so then have these chemicals been chosen, or the rulemaking starting with other chemicals been selected?
I believe initially we're going to be looking at the initial list that the last group did in fact develop. So that'll be a starting place. There's going to be a lot of chance for public comment and involvement in that process going forward. So like you said, we did in fact let the date slip a little bit, but in fact it's in process now. So we've taken it very seriously. There's no abandonment of this obligation at all. We knew this thing was looking, we were looking at it, and we wanted to get it out there, but make it be as thoughtful and as fit into the whole picture of all the priorities as possible. So now it is going to be going forward.
Are any of the chemicals that were already on the list brought up by the DEP in the previous administration being looked at to be taken off the list, or should we expect those ones to be still there?
I think you're going to see a very similar list, and again, the rulemaking process may change that. I don't know. But initially, it was six or seven chemicals made the list of the last assessment, and that's our starting place.
Okay. And again, with the public hearings or public input, will there be hearings on these particular chemicals? Okay.
There'll be public comment as well as a chance for public meetings and those kind of things based on the regular rulemaking process.
And again, when might we expect that to happen?
I'm thinking, just looking at the way the rulemaking agenda goes and all the public notices we have to do, you're looking at 2 or 3 months out when things are really, really engaged. Because you have to do a public notice before that, file it with the Secretary of State, all that kind of stuff. So that process has started.
Okay. Before we run out of time, I do want to address another component in looking at the issue of staffing at the department. And there's been some issues brought up by the environmental health community that had to do with staffing. If I can just quickly touch on those and then have you address those altogether. So we're talking about the elimination of a staff position that was completely funded by fees of chemical manufacturers, which was to be looking over this arena. And then the reassignment of someone whose specific charge was to be implementing the KidSafe Products Act, and she has been reassigned in a clerical assistant has been the one to oversee it along with yourself, who obviously has many other tasks to attend to besides the implementation of these toxics measures that we've been talking about. Can you talk about this issue of staffing and whether you feel there's enough staffing to do all the work that needs to be done on this, and whether you're concerned with the elimination of these positions I just mentioned?
I can a little bit. Personnel issues are confidential, quite frankly,
sure.
And I have to protect individuals at every step of the way on all issues. But this program, all I can say is we're fully committed to this program, and it has the same amount of staff force as it ever had. And one of the things I've been trying to do since I took over is use my position as a bureau director to reach out and get more resources and really get the full help of the who help us a lot, people like the CDC, Center for Disease Control, people in technology for helping us do the planning for the data reporting, those kind of things. And I think that it's really a good place to run this from. There's nothing else than that to say, really, other than it has the right level of staffing. We think this law can be run, and we're totally committed to it and following through in every step of the way.
Okay. So you were not able to comment on the two positions that were...
I really can't because of confidentiality. I did talk to our HR people. They said I could not talk about, because it's really how DEP is just managing our workforce, and everybody's doing jobs that they're really well equipped to do and are focused on getting the task at hand completed. And that's really all I can say at this point.
Okay. And because of time, is there anything else you'd like to add on this issue?
No, other than we're always open to talking with folks about how we run our toxics programs. We take them very seriously, and our plan is to carry them out to the full extent of the law and be proactive in that effort.
And where can people go for more information if they want to follow the efforts of the department on the issue of BPA and toxics in our consumer products?
They can go to the main DEP website, which is right on the state website, and it's one of the hot topics, so you can find that pretty easily. And I encourage people to do that, to stay in touch with us and to... ask questions at any time. And again, our intent is to completely fulfill the obligations we have before us, which are big, but they're very important.
Thank you, Ron Dyer with the Maine Department of Environmental Protection.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with Meredith DeFrancesco and Amy Brown. You can listen to archives of this and other locally produced programming at weru.org.